When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Power your next journey with True North Convenience Stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab two of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in over 40 currencies with no markups and no hidden fees. Whether you're sending pesos across the pond, spending reals in Rio, or getting paid in dollars for your side gig, you'll get the mid-market exchange rate on every transaction. Plus, most transfers arrive in less than 20 seconds. Join 15 million customers internationally. Be smart. Get Wise. Download the Wise app today. T's and C's apply.
This is a true crime roundup from the On Deadline podcast. We dive into true crime stories covered by Odyssey's radio newsrooms across the country. A mystery centered on a couple who went on what many speculate was a deadly boat ride in the Bahamas is one of the developing crimes we'll cover in this episode. Authorities are still trying to figure out what exactly happened before Lynette Hooker disappeared, and what her husband might know about it. We'll also take listeners into a recent meeting where investigators explained how they finally solved the nearly 30-year-old cold case murder of Deborah Kennedy, tracking it down to her neighbor with new DNA analysis technology. Then we'll look into a documentary film called Echoes in the Night, the Jacob Wetterling story. The film is premiering this month, and it explores another case that went unsolved for decades. We'll hear from murder victim Jacob Wetterling's mother about how solving these crimes impacts the families of victims. But first, we'll hear some quick dispatches about developing crimes covered by Odyssey newsrooms this week, starting with Odyssey station KYW in Philadelphia.
A man is in custody accused of stabbing a woman at the Willow Grove Mall. Abington Township Police Department say it happened at around 2:30 this afternoon. The woman was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Our news gathering partner NBC 10 says the woman was stabbed in both arms and that the suspect was apprehended on the other side of the mall at a nearby bus stop. A motive for the attack is being investigated.
KYW also reported on efforts to find the suspect behind a recent fatal shooting.
Well, new images and video have been released of a suspect accused of gunning down a man inside a University City convenience store last week. As KYW crime and justice reporter Kristen Johansson reports, Philly police need the public's help in identifying the gunman.
It happened just after 4:30 in the afternoon on the Monday after Easter. Surveillance video from inside the convenience store at 40th and Market Streets shows the gunman having a heated conversation with 26-year-old Savon Pollard Paulson.
They could have known each other because they're talking and then an argument ensues, at which time the offender produces a gun and shoots the victim,
who later died at the hospital. Deputy Police Commissioner Frank Van Noor describes the suspect as a black man wearing all black, wearing glasses, who got away on a motorized scooter.
We do catch up to him again. In some of the images, he's not wearing the glasses, so he does sometimes wear glasses. But we're urging people to take a good look at the images, and if they know them, give us a call.
Pictures of him can be seen on our website and social media. There's a $20,000 reward for information leading to an arrest and conviction.
Odyssey Station KRLD 1080 in Dallas has been keeping up with the trial for former FedEx driver Tanner Horner, who has pleaded guilty to murdering 7-year-old Athena Strand in 2022. So far, the trial has revealed that Horner claims he has an alter ego named Zero. He would use that alter ego to speak with investigators. This week, there were even more disturbing revelations in court.
Tarrant County jurors visibly moved today when audio was played in the courtroom of 7-year-old Athena Strand's vicious murder. In part, jurors could hear the little girl say the words, quote, "Are you a kidnapper?"
The audio came from the FedEx truck being driven by Tanner Horner the day he abducted and strangled Athena to death before dumping her body. Many in the jury sobbed when they heard the little girl's cries for help and screaming. The jury also heard from Athena's father, Jacob Strand, who says his daughter's murder has wrecked his life.
Pretty much self-destruction. I just kind of held everything in and it ruined my marriage.
The state has rested their case and the defense will call their own witnesses starting next Wednesday. Horner has pleaded guilty and a jury will decide whether he faces the death penalty or life in prison without parole. From the 24-Hour News Center, Austin, York, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
Lynette Hooker's disappearance has made headlines across the country. On April 11th, the 56-year-old headed out on a boat trip with her husband Brian while in the Bahamas, and she never returned. Her husband, who was arrested but then released, according to the Detroit News, claims that she fell off the boat with the vessel's keys. However, Lynette's daughter has questioned his account. Here's more on the story from the Dana and Parks podcast out of Odyssey Station KMBZ in Kansas City.
They have still not charged Brian Hooker in the Bahamas, and we're not going to play the whole thing. It's more than 3 minutes long. But
didn't they have to charge him or let him go by like
by today? They did question him earlier today. It is now almost 7 o'clock at night in the Bahamas, and he is, as of my quick check through the internet, uncharged at this moment, but still in custody.
So far, we have two pieces of audio from phone calls that were made after the incident. One to the stepdaughter. Most of you, if you're following the story at all, have probably heard that on the major news outlets,
and
Sunday morning news, things like that.
She's not a fan of her stepdad.
Oh, she said he has anger issues. She came out immediately and said he killed her. I have no doubt, allegedly. But this was an anonymous friend who he got a phone call from Mr. Hooker explaining what happened.
In the call, Brian Hooker is heard again claiming that Lynette fell off the boat and that he was not able to save her in time.
Way too nonchalant. He's like, I don't know, 1,000 feet or so from the boat. Like, he doesn't sound panicked enough to me for someone who has just lost their
panicked
wife.
What about grieving?
You just, yeah, and she was, I mean, I don't know, 1,000 feet out there.
I mean, if I had lost T in the middle of the ocean, well, in a bay, in
you
the Bahamas,
would have stayed. He said, I couldn't hear her, so I went. I went to go get help.
And this was a woman, according to her daughter, who was athletic, who was fit, and the yacht was only 1,000 feet away.
Yeah,
and she couldn't swim to it.
And mind you, he was getting pulled closer to shore, and she was getting pulled closer to the yacht.
No, I don't buy it.
If that was me and I had just lost the love of my life, I would be on the phone with Sam going,
a dinghy. Also, had a spare dinghy key in her bag. Why does she have the dinghy key, also reported by her daughter, to never be the one driving the boat?
So she never, ever drove the boat, according to her daughter. By the way, they have another 24 minutes to charge him. He has to be charged no later than 6:20 our time, or they have to let him go.
Okay, on what evidence? Because him sounding way too lackadaisical because she's missing,
it's not a crime.
Presumed dead, is not a crime.
That's right.
prove that he shoved her overboard or clocked her on the head. Like,
got Scott Peterson on Les.
But they had a body.
Not at first.
Well, that's a fair point.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Power your next journey with True North convenience stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab two of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in over 40 currencies with no markups and no hidden fees. Whether you're sending pesos across the pond, spending reals in Rio, or getting paid in dollars for your side gig, you'll get the mid-market exchange rate on every transaction. Plus, most transfers arrive in less than 20 seconds. Join 15 million customers internationally. Be smart. Get Wise. Download the Wise app today. T's and C's apply.
Springtime's the perfect time to turn the page and refresh your home style. The only problem? It can be expensive. Luckily, there's a better way to shop well-worthy pieces for less at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's negotiates with manufacturers to get you the best everyday low prices, giving the shopping power back to you. The power to get more style, comfort, and quality for less on amazing pieces like stylish mid-century dining sets made for hosting those big spring brunches, pop-up sleeper sectionals with all the bells and whistles so you can turn any room into a guest room, and next-level Bobopedic mattresses so you can get a great night's rest after you've finished redecorating every room. So, when you're ready to spring into new style, stop into your nearest store or shop online and see how you can get wow-worthy style for less with Bob's Discount Furniture.
Rich Frankel, former special agent in charge of the FBI in New York, joined Odyssey station WBEN in Buffalo to dive a bit deeper into the case this week.
Rich, do you feel like this case will remain unsolved, or do you think that we'll get some answers to this?
I think we'll get some answers if we can find the body, or if law enforcement, of course, can find the body. The Coast Guard is still searching. They're doing a search and recovery for the body. It's very hard. Hopefully the body floated, and is not below the surface. And also, using the science of the tides and everything that the Coast Guard is very adept at, I'm sure they've, tried to narrow down the search location. However, that's still going to be very hard because of the islands. Could the body have washed up, into a shoreline and is hard to find? Is the body just floating out and for some reason went in a different direction where, creatures, did they have any, say kind of in what happened with the body? So there are a whole lot of different elements that are going into where her body could be. But that being said, they have found bodies in the past, after a week. And so they're going to continue to search, and they need that because they need to do the forensics on the body. They need to see if there are any indications as to what happened to her either before she fell overboard or as she was falling overboard and how she actually died. Was it by drowning, or was it something else that might have aided in her death?
I mean, there could be something else there, right? But I mean, how in depth can forensics go? If she fell off a boat versus being shoved off a boat, would you really ever be able to tell that?
No, you're right. If it's just, a push, it would be very hard to tell. But if there was a struggle, there would possibly be other indications, scratches, other, bruising or something along that line. Maybe she would have, some of Brian's skin under her fingernails. So there could be other indications. Maybe she was struck before she fell in the water. So that would all go into the forensics that they would gather. But this is a hard case in the sense of, it's really just two people there. There's no electronic evidence from what I can tell. She fell overboard supposedly with the phone in her pocket, so there doesn't seem to be any indication that anything was videotaped, recorded or that such. Brian also didn't go to the boat itself. He said because he had, she had the keys and she had the phone in her pocket when she went overseas or over the boat. He then, rowed back to shore, which took him quite a while because of the heavy seas, according to Brian. And then it took him even longer to find somebody who could assist him and let the Coast Guard know that she had fallen overboard. So she had been in the water already for quite a while before there was even the beginning of that search. But going back to the forensic, because of all that, there is not a lot of evidence that is out there. I think the investigation itself is looking more at, possible motives for why this might have happened. Looking at the past between Brian and Lynette, between Brian and other members of his family, and then just speaking to, friends, family, and looking at financials of Brian Hooker.
We are learning that they had a rocky marriage, and that is fueling a lot of the speculation here. Brian Hooker was being held for a time, and then he was released. Could he leave the Bahamas if he wanted to?
That, I'm not sure right now. When he left, he was interviewed, and he said, "I'm going to stay until they find Lynette's body." And that, could be, completely accurate. But that could also be a little bit of cover because he might have been told on the way out of, out of jail that he is not allowed to leave the Bahamas. And that would not be unusual for a case like this, where somebody is under investigation and you're in a foreign country, and that country, just like we do here in the United States, they have the right to control their borders, who remains and who leaves. And so they may have told him that, you're free, you're free to go from the jail, but you can't leave the islands yet, at least until a further time. I'm still waiting to hear more about that from the prosecution or law enforcement.
Does it seem like, whenever you watch these true crime documentaries or whatever, obviously there's way more cases than there are documentaries, but it always seems like the people who get away with it are not necessarily the people who commit the perfect crime and leave no trace and nobody ever finds out what happens. It seems like there's a lot of these cases where there's something where everybody has suspicion on one guy, or everybody seems to know exactly what happened, but nobody can prove it.
Yeah, if he doesn't speak to anyone and he hasn't texted anyone and, he's not communicating with anyone, that makes it even a harder case. Something's not a secret when you tell one person, when two people know something. And if he's kept it to himself and it's just him knowing this, it's a very hard case. And that is one of the areas I think that law enforcement's looking at. Not, that he has told anyone that he committed the crime, but did he have any communications before Lynette went overseas that would indicate that he was going to do something like this? Did he, send texts to her, about, that he wanted to hurt her, he wanted to kill her, or anything along that line? Did he say that to any of his friends, when they were hanging out? There are allegations of that he may have abused her. And again, these are allegations as far as I'm concerned, nothing proved yet. But there are allegations that he may have abused her. There are allegations that he actually put his hands on his young daughter and choked her back, when she was being homeschooled. So there are some indications that he may have had either a violent history with his family, or that at least he had a history where there was this conflict between him and Lynette. And so that, I think, is where law enforcement is probably focused on, to see if there's anything that they can get to prove motive if they do find a body. And that's the other thing. You know, even though we all believe that she's probably passed on, you know, that she's died at this point, there is no proof of that. He said she went overboard, but we don't have the body yet to prove that she's, in fact, dead.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Power your next journey with True North convenience stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab two of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in over 40 currencies with no markups and no hidden fees. Whether you're sending pesos across the pond, spending reals in Rio, or getting paid in dollars for your side gig, you'll get the mid-market exchange rate on every transaction. Plus, most transfers arrive in less than 20 seconds. Join 15 million customers internationally. Be smart. Get Wise. Download the Wise app today. T's and C's apply.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business, to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now we'll put you in the room with WWJ News Radio for a recent press conference in Southfield, Michigan. That's where investigators have finally solved the murder of Deborah Kennedy. Kennedy was 40 years old when she was stabbed to death in her own home.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for coming out. I'm Deputy Chief Aaron Hughley. I oversee our investigations division and serve as our agency's public information officer. Standing here with me today is Southfield Chief of Police, Elvin V. Barron, Deputy Chief Jeffrey Jagowski, who oversees our patrol division, Detective Lieutenant Mustafa Beezy, Detective Brian Weeks, and Detective Saba Libidich, and Deborah's cousin, Mr. Reginald Daniel. Today, Chief Barron will provide an update to a cold case homicide that occurred nearly 30 years ago here in the city of Southfield. This senseless act of violence took place on February 19, 1997, in a 24,000 block of Lee Baker. Chief Barron will detail the investigative actions that led to the identity and apprehension of the suspect. And without any further delay, Chief Barron.
And thank you, Deputy Chief. And as always, keep with tradition, thanking all the media for being here. Now, this is a very historic day. You talk about a cold case from a homicide that occurred 29 years ago. It's very significant. The opportunity to bring a family a much-needed closure and justice for the victim. So after years of investigation, we're here to announce the arrest in the connection with a cold case homicide of Ms. Deborah Kennedy, which occurred on Wednesday, February 19th, 1997, in the city of Southfield. I would like to begin by acknowledging the detectives who worked tirelessly to bring Mrs. Kinley and her family justice, especially our lead detective, Detective Brian Weeks. I'm going to pause right here and just kind of emphasize the fact that Detective Weeks, one of our finest detectives in this police department, really took this case to heart. It was Detective Weeks who approached the Southfield Police Administration and asked us for an opportunity to review cold case files. Our only ask to Detective Weeks when we gave him approval to move forward with our cold cases was that he find cases that through DNA and forensic advancements would be a high probability of closure. And he found just that case. Also to the supporting detectives who worked alongside of Detective Weeks to make sure that we had a coordinated effort in this investigation. On Thursday, February 20th, 1997, Deborah Kennedy, a 40-year-old woman, was found deceased inside of her residence where she lived alone in the 24,000 block of Lee Baker here in Southfield. A co-worker and friend contacted the Southfield Police Department requesting a welfare check after Ms. Kennedy failed to report to work. She was employed at the General Motors Tech Center in Warren, Michigan. Southfield police officers responded to the residence at approximately 11 a.m. and discovered Mrs. Kennedy deceased as a result of multiple stab wounds. There were no signs of forced entry. However, evidence indicated that Mrs. Kennedy fought with her attacker during that fatal encounter. This detail would later prove to be critically important. Despite extensive investigative efforts in 1997, the case remained unsolved for 29 years. On June 20th, 2024, Detective Brian Weeks of the Southfield Police Department Major Crimes Unit reopened the case. Along with a team of detectives, he conducted a comprehensive review of the original file, re-examined evidence, and began re-interviewing individuals connected to the case. Two critical pieces of evidence were collected in 1997, were resubmitted for advanced forensic testing. The first, Mrs. Kennedy had a credit card, which had been recovered from a bedroom floor. Investigators believe that the suspect may have handled that credit card during the incident. While processed for prints in 1997, no identification was made at that time. The second critical piece of evidence was fingernail clippings taken from Mrs. Kennedy, which appeared to contain skin from her attacker. With advancements in DNA and fingerprint technology, our investigators were hopeful that these items would now yield results. On January 21st, 2025, detectives received a fingerprint analysis from the Oakland County Sheriff's Office identifying Robert Covington as the individual who handled the credit card. On September 5th, 2025, a CODIS match, and CODIS stands for a Combined DNA Index System, confirmed that DNA from the fingernail clippings also matched Robert Covington. This evidence supports the conclusion that Mrs. Kennedy fought her attacker and in doing so, captured the suspect's DNA under her fingernails. Very critical piece of information. And it's a testament to Mrs. Kennedy. Now she had the courage to fight this man despite being a small stature. Through advancement in forensic science, investigators were able to identify the suspect as 58-year-old Robert Covington, currently a resident of Royal Lakes, Illinois. Mr. Covington is a former Michigan resident who previously lived in Oak Park, Highland Park, and Southfield. At the time of the homicide, he is believed to have lived across the street from Mrs. Kennedy. He was married at the time and resided with his then wife and mother-in-law, both of whom are now deceased. At this time, we believe that Mr. Covington acted alone. The motive for this crime remains unknown. However, investigators are considering two primary theories. One theory, the suspect may have targeted Mrs. Kennedy because she lived alone and he had an observable routine. It is possible he entered the home while it was unsecure and encountered her upon her return home from work, leading to the attack. A second theory, a suspect may have used a prior connection. I mentioned before that Mrs. Kennedy was friends and neighbors with our suspect's mother-in-law. And then maybe through that relationship, he was able to gain her trust to come closer to her. For example, knocking on the door, asked to borrow an item, use the phone, or something of that nature, and then forced his way in at that time. But as I said before, we truly will probably never know, but these are the theories that we're working with. On March 29th, 2026, Southfield detectives traveled to Royal Lakes, Illinois, where they coordinated with the Macoupin County Sheriff's Department and Illinois State Police. Following a surveillance operation and traffic stop, Robert Covington was taken into custody approximately 7:30 p.m. without incident. He was extradited to Michigan on April 8th, 2026, and arraigned April 9th. The Oakland County Prosecutor's Office has issued the following charges for Robert Covington, again, 58-year-old resident of Royal Lakes, Illinois, count one, felony murder, open murder, no bond. Next court date is April 23rd, 2026 at 8:30 a.m. In addition to this, for the loved ones of Deborah Kennedy, today represents a long-awaited step towards justice. It's proof that even after decades, evidence can still speak and the truth can still be uncovered. This case is a powerful reminder that time does not diminish our commitment. No matter how many years pass, the Southfield Police Department will continue to pursue justice for victims and families. This investigation, however, remains active. Anyone with additional information is encouraged to contact the Southfield Police Department or Crime Stoppers at 1-800-SPEAK-UP. So a couple of things. At the time of the fatal assault, Mr. Covington was 29 years old. Again, he's 58 now. Within 2 months after committing this homicide, he did flee the state of Michigan and took residence in Arizona, ultimately moving to Royal Lakes, Illinois. But that's just a testament to the fact that sometimes these suspects commit these crimes and they flee the area if they have the means, not knowing that the day will come when we're going to find you and bring you to justice. Also, again, we're going to continue acknowledging the Macoupin County Sheriff's Department. We made that arrest. Certainly, he advised Mr. Covington that he had a traffic warrant. Certainly didn't have a traffic warrant. Something much serious than that. But we appreciate them for using their de-escalation tactics to minimize the nature of the arrest, resulting in the possibility of the suspect trying to resist arrest from a violent warrant. They opted to advise him he had a traffic-related arrest to keep the suspect calm, and we appreciate them for doing that. So at this time, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Detective Brian Weeks for comment. Again, our lead detective on this case who did tremendous work making sure this family received the justice that they so much deserve. Detective Weeks.
This will just be very brief. We met the Kennedy family back in 2024 here at the Southfield Police Department, and at that time we made a commitment to do everything possible to bring resolution to this case for Deborah Kennedy and her family. We've had a dedicated team of detectives working on this case from the beginning, including the original detectives from 1997, who, without their hard work at the time this homicide occurred, we would not be able to bring justice to the Kennedy family, her friends, and the citizens of the city of Southfield. I again want to thank the original detectives for all their hard work and dedication on this case. They were paramount in this investigation and helping us solve this with the advancements of technology We wouldn't have been able to do this without them. So, again, thank you to the original detectives, and thank you for the family for being patient with us during this investigation.
Deborah's life story is more than just what happened to her that night in 1997. This is how her family described her.
And now we bring forth family representative, Mr. Daniel.
Good morning to everyone. My name is Reggie Daniel. I am first cousin of Deborah Kennedy. Deborah was a sweetheart. She was a darling. She was very loved by her family. Deborah, from an early age, was very active in terms of pursuing her goals. She joined GM as a co-op student after a co-op program, and she rose very steadily in the ranks there, became very successful, and she was living her life. She was doing all the things that we would like to see in those that we love and those that we cherish do, that is, be the best that they can be. Deborah was a God-fearing woman. She loved the Lord, and she loved people. She was giving. She was caring. She always sought to help people. On this particular day that this incident happened, the family was, as you can imagine, traumatized. And I can say even to this day, over the years, the hurt is still there. In a sense, the bleeding was opened up when we found the suspect. The family is really just so traumatized that they were not able to attend in large because of the hurt that they're experiencing now and just the sensitivity of the whole incident. But I would like to say that we are all very appreciative for the Southfield Police taking our pleas to pursue this case over 3 years ago, actually. It took some time. But Detective Weeks, when we met, he was like a bulldog. He just would not give up. He just assured me that they were working the case. And for so many families, we know this is not the case. This is just doesn't happen as they would like. And we were, at one point, never thinking that we would see this day, because as Chief Barron indicated, it's been over 29 years. And so we're just very thankful that the city of Southfield heard our plea and they pursued this case very diligently. So my thanks goes to Chief Barron, Chief Womble, Detective Womble, I'm sorry, Detective Weeks, and all of the other Southfield detectives and officers who pursued this case. And I indicated to Detective Weeks early on that my wish would be that the city of Southfield would get the funding to establish a cold case unit, because there are so many other families just like ours who've had the traumatic incident of losing a relative to violence with no resolution. And funding a cold case unit such as the city of Southfield has handled our case would really enable many families to achieve having some sense of justice for their loved ones. So again, I say thank you to the entire Southfield Department, to Chief Barron, Detective Weeks, and all others who helped us to see this day. We're so grateful. We're so thankful. And all I say is to God be the glory for all the work that has been done. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Daniel. And at this time, we'll open the floor for questions.
Question for the detective.
WWJ's Tim Pamblin asked what Covington's reaction was like when he was pulled over for the traffic stop that led to his arrest.
He was a little nervous when he walked in and realized that there were two detectives standing there. It's a very small community out in Macoupin County. After he was informed that there was a traffic warrant when he saw us, I think he knew it was something more than a traffic warrant at on a Sunday night. So he appeared nervous the entire time we were talking to him, and he was taken off guard there.
Reporters also asked how DNA analysis has changed since Kennedy's murder was first under investigation.
Back in 97, there was the technology was mostly blood typing, so they were trying to figure out the different types of blood. And now the advancements have been so, they've changed so much over the last several years that we were able to get smaller samples lead to bigger results. So you don't need as much of a sample anymore in order to send the DNA out to labs and things of that nature.
So that's the advancement, is that you don't need, because it was just a tiny fragment, and back in the day that couldn't be analyzed, huh?
Correct,
okay,
correct.
Was this guy always on a short list of suspects?
Actually, it wasn't until the DNA evidence came back that we were able to identify this suspect. It was solely based on the DNA evidence and also the fingerprint analysis.
And I know you mentioned his wife and mother-in-law have since passed. Any suspicion there at all that he's involved in those deaths? Or?
No, it appears that those deaths were connected to natural causes at that time.
Okay. Yeah. Janet, for additional clarity, there was DNA available at the time, but were they just not able to match it back then, or was there just advancements in DNA? If you could just clarify that a little bit.
Right, so we start with the fingerprint that was on the credit card. At that time, there was a print associated on the credit card, but the technology and processes used in 1997, they weren't able to get a clear reading. But with the advancements in technology, the new systems allowed for the fingerprint to be enhanced, allowing for it to be read, and then ultimately leading to a match. And then the same thing with the DNA. As mentioned by Detective Weeks, small samples of blood are now able to be analyzed thoroughly, and then we get that second positive match. So that was huge in this case. Two different sources of DNA and advanced technology brought forth the same suspect. So this was huge in our investigation.
While it was DNA that connected Covington to Kennedy's murder, this isn't the first time that he's been in trouble with the law.
Have you been arrested at some other time to have DNA on file? And can you talk about that?
He has been arrested on numerous occasions here in the state of Michigan, along with several other states as well.
And that was post the murder?
Pre and post, yes.
But there was no connection able to be made at the time of the murder, DNA-wise?
Correct, correct.
Why did you personally ask to take on a cold case?
I believe that all these victims and families, they deserve justice. And sometimes you don't have the resources or the funding, but there are people waiting for days like today. So I think that's important.
And what's it like to hear a family member here speak to us and thank you guys for the work that you did? Sometimes a thankless job.
It's very moving. Excuse me. It's very important to me, very important to the family, and this is an important case in my career.
When cases like Kennedy's are solved, it can provide important closure to the loved ones left to grieve a killer's victims. In St. Joseph, Minnesota, near St. Cloud, the story of Jacob Wetterling's disappearance haunted his family and his community.
It's the heartbreaking, heart-wrenching, captivating story that has kept this state in focus since 1989, and just the name Jacob Wetterling.
Wetterling was abducted in 1989 when he was just 11 years old, and his remains weren't discovered until 2016, following the confession of Danny Heinrich. Director Chris Newberry worked with another one of the man's victims and with Wetterling's family on a new documentary about the case. Patty Wetterling, Jacob's mother, joined Adam Carter and Jordana Green on The Adam and Jordana Show out of Odyssey Station WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities to discuss the film this week.
This documentary picks up at a very specific and dramatic moment when Danny Heinrich was finally caught in 2016. Can you tell us, I know you love sharing Jacob's story and searching for children and advocating for children and missing children. Was it difficult to take part in this project because, at least the start of it, the focus is on Jacob's killer?
You know, Chris Newberry, the producer, worked really hard at telling this story in a most, cautious, generous, explanatory way. It's something that we all live through, and I do want to thank you and Jordana. You all were part of the journey. WCCO was very kind in its coverage, and I think that's part of what got us national attention. So I know that a lot of people lived through it, and this is a really good recap of the journey and the impact it had on so many people in this community. And Chris Newberry is the producer. He did a really fabulous job of compressing almost 27 years into a couple hour, coverage of it. You can't share all of it, but that's the hardest part, I think. Talking about Jacob and the story, there's so much. But paring it down to something that can touch the hearts of a lot of people who lived it, and it's kind of I don't know. It's hard to live through something like that and know what to do with it. So this kind of wraps it all together, and it's like, yeah, that was a lot, and here we are now. We're better. We're stronger, and we're all together. So I think he did a really good job of doing that.
Why did you want to do it, Patty? You mentioned that you do want, obviously, we all want to keep Jacob's story alive as a cautionary tale. But it must be painful. It must be so painful for you to have been involved with this project, to have to relive moments that you thought, you know, were not only ridiculously painful at the time, but now you're reliving that. I mean, how hard for you was the process, and also why is it important that we keep telling Jacob's story and your story?
Thank you. That's a really, really good question, and it's a hard one to answer. This was started before Jacob was found, so my intent was to keep his story alive, keep the search for missing kids alive, tell people about resources and hope and all of that. And then poor Chris, right after he'd started filming, was when they arrested Danny Heinrich. So he was at our house when we had that press conference at the end of the driveway. So
wow.
He got a kind of an inside view of what we were going through, and our friends who were holding us up and all of that. So I think then I didn't, when Jacob was found, I really didn't want to do it because the whole purpose changed, and I didn't see value. But people convinced me that it touched so many lives in so many ways that it's important to wrap your arms around it and just sort of face things head on. The hardest part for me was doing the interviews at the very beginning, and then he had so much to work with. I wasn't a part of the daily editing or the other interviews. So the painful part was it was a painful time. And we didn't see the final version yet, but what we watched was really insightful. He does a brilliant job of bringing in Jared's story. Jared was a huge part of how we got answers. Yep. And he never really got justice or, you know, the credit for his bravery in coming forward and not only telling his story, but meeting with so many others. He told me, you know, he would just sit down and say, I have a story to tell, and I think you do too. And these people would open up to him, and he and Joy captured their stories. And so there's a really nice, quite a bit of Jared's story in this documentary. And I think that will hearten a lot of people because he survived.
Yeah. Can you remind everybody, Patty, for those who are new to the story, our younger listeners, can you remind everybody Jared's involvement in the story?
thank you. I forget many listeners weren't even born when this all happened.
That's true.
Jared was, he lived in Cold Spring, which is 10 miles away from us, and he was 12 and just walking home from hockey or playing ice skating, and some man pushed him into his car, and he took him, he was sexually assaulted and then released. And the law enforcement, the investigators thought from the beginning that it was 10 miles away, and it was so similar, the man's mannerisms and everything. And so poor Jared was interviewed in depth because it's like, you saw this guy, and, you know, and he, they pushed him really hard. I know the FBI told me that maybe they pushed a little too hard, that they were so desperate to find answers and insight. But his family actually moved to Painesville, ironically, because that's where his parents were from. And that's where Danny Heinrich had other victims. And when they found out about some, Jared's told Joy, he was working with Joy Baker in a blog, and he said, don't put this on the blog. I think I know some of these guys. And so he started meeting with people that, you know, he thought had possibly also been victims, and collectively they put pieces of a puzzle together that everybody was needing. And these other victims also got answers as to who did this to them, because the front room of the front row of the courtroom when this guy was sentenced, front two rows on the other side of the aisle from us, were victims of his.
Are you going to be there on April 18th for the premiere? And
we are.
What kind of emotions are you expecting as you watch that?
I think it was really helpful to having seen it, because we won't be caught off guard by anything. I think that people are going to ask exactly what Jordana asked. You know, so why would you do this? And I can tell you that, you know, we've been traveling the state after writing Jacob's story, and it impacted so many lives really deeply. Some adults would come to say, I was 3 years old and I remember my whole life looking for Jacob. And I just last week got a Facebook post from this woman who was a 17-year-old exchange student from Denmark, and Jacob was still gone, and she went back home, and then she lived in California for a while, and then she went back home and found that he had been found. She's, I can't remember how many years she is old now, but you know, she's probably 40 in her, well, mid 40s, and she's had Jacob's story with her as a huge part of her life. So it really touched a lot. Jacob had a very strong spirit, and it was the innocence of the community and the way the community rallied. So that's part of the hope and part of the promise we owe our children today, is like, we are there for them forever. And I think that awareness has kept other kids safe, and it will build the world where kids have the right to grow up safe. And I just so believe in that. And I guess that's the ultimate purpose, is if it can help another family heal, and if it can help us face the problem and search for better ways of keeping our kids safe, or how to talk about it. It's what you won't talk about that scares kids the most. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it shares the honesty that, you know, we were open and honest with our own kids, and our grandkids know all about Jacob. Because he's been a part of our family all along. So I think there is a blessing in telling the story, and I think Chris did a really respectful, kind job at bringing it forward. It's not sad. It's not meant to be a really, we're going to just go through boxes of Kleenex. It will remind people, and you know, but the focus is on hope and pulling together.
Thank you so much for listening to this True Crime in Real Time Roundup from the On Deadline podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to KYW News Radio in Philadelphia, KRLD 1080 in Dallas, the Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City, WBEN News Talk in Buffalo, WWJ News Radio in Detroit, and The Adam and Jordana Show out of WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities. You can find these programs on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find these true crime roundups by subscribing to the On Deadline podcast, the Who Killed Strawberry podcast, or the Bitter Academia podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Power your next journey with True North convenience stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab two of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Breaking news from Good Ranchers. Over 85% of grass-fed beef in stores is imported. Most grocery store meat contains antibiotics, hormones, and harmful seed oils. Good Ranchers does things differently. All their meat is born and raised on local American farms. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no seed oils. Just one ingredient, meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and get $25 off your first order with code RANCH25. That's code RANCH25 for $25 off your first order. GoodRanchers.com. American meat delivered. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Baseball and community go hand in hand. And with Pitch, Hit, and Run, you can make a lasting impact. Register to showcase the foundational skills of young athletes from your local community in the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Known as Pitch, Hit, and Run. Make an impact today. Pitch, hit, and run. Visit playball.org to sign up today.